This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is another hour of Sports Daily here on this Friday. Glad to be with you here today. We'll have Jalen Thompson coming up a little later in the hour. Tommy, NBA playoffs continue last night. Oklahoma City continues to kind of show that they're the top dog here. That was a pretty, you know, wire-to-wire convincing win over Minnesota. They, again, are you know, showing how good defensively they are as much as anything else, which is, I think, for a lot of NBA fans, probably pretty refreshing to see a defensive-minded team doing it. SGA, the MVP, gets to the line a bunch. That's what he does.
Man, how good is he, by the way? How good is he?
He's so good.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad he got it. I'm glad he got the MVP so that we can all understand what he is and what he's doing. In Oklahoma City, always not the, you know, the headline or the spotlight. The NBA doesn't have its clear-cut star right now. Maybe that's Anthony Edwards playing in this series. Not so far. Maybe it's Victor Wembanyama when the time comes. Not so far. Right now, and I don't think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is ever going to take the mantle from LeBron James, which is what the NBA has been waiting for a long time. But he's the MVP, and he's on the best team in basketball. And so I'm glad we were able to acknowledge that in the awards. I'm glad he got it so that we can kind of all click. Because he's been doing this now for 2-3 years. But, man, he's killer right now. He's killer.
And man, you know, a lot of people criticize him for the amount of fouls that he draws and the fact that a lot of his offense is from the line. I mean, I've seen people say, well, yeah, his production is based on him getting to the line. And I'm like, I think that's a ridiculous argument. Like you're playing physical, and he plays physical on both sides of the court for sure. He's a great defender, you know, and then he's able to get to the line, and you've got to adjust. If you're a defense, you've got to know that he is going to try to draw contact and get to the foul line. And he's really, really good at that. And at least so far in this series, the T-Wolves have not had an answer to stop him from getting to the line.
I don't know that they're going to have an answer either. I don't mind that at all. Allen Iverson's one of my favorite players ever, and that was his game, right? You just go in. Fred VanVleet was so good at that. If Fred VanVleet would have got the calls in college that were actual fouls, like if he would have got any calls at all, he'd have scored 25 points a game. That dude never, and he was so good at it. I have no problem with it. It's a part of the, you know, it's a part of the game. He doesn't take, it's pretty rare in today's NBA. You score 38 points without, you know, hitting a bunch of threes, but he was good. Anthony Edwards was good in the game, just not good enough collectively as a team. And Oklahoma City does what they're supposed to do at home. Now, can they get one in Minnesota here and put this series away, or will Minnesota climb back into it? That'll be That'll be the question. But get, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder fans, get ready. Like, there's nothing that tells you this ain't going to be a good run here. Now, will it be a dynasty or I don't know. I mean, there's so much parity in today's NBA. It's really hard to predict that stuff.
Well, you haven't had a repeat champion in the NBA in what, like 15 years or whatever it's been. Yeah. It's been a long time.
It feels like the Golden State dynasty just happened, right? Like, it feels like that was just yesterday.
It was like 10 years ago, right? Like 10, 12.
And I'm just about to look at the list of NBA champions here to verify the actual last time we had it. So the Golden State dynasty, they won two in a row. They won two in a row in 27 and 18. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's been 6 years since anybody's won two in a row. And they won 3 out of 4, 15, 17, 18. So maybe a little closer than we thought. But it's been a minute.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the 2016 year was the LeBron Cavs year, I believe.
Yes, that's correct. So in the middle of four, you had LeBron get it done that year. That was the year they played each other in the finals.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So that's what made to me, and honestly, I think this has for me, like, when I really sort of was just like, all right, that's enough for me. Every year. It wasn't just that it felt like it was Warriors Cavs.
It was Warriors Cavs every single year.
Why would I even care about anything here when it is this? And so that's behind us now. And we haven't had anything even close to that. And Golden State got another one since then, to their credit. But we haven't had anything close to that since. Not even no repeat champions have we had. So after that year, and then the next year, to sort of put a dagger in that dynasty, is when Golden State had the injuries and Fred VanVleet and the Raptors were able to get it done in that series. So you had Lakers, Heat, Bucks, Suns, Warriors, Celtics, Nuggets, Heat, and then Celtics, Mavericks last year. So not only are we not seeing repeat champions, we're not seeing repeat teams to the finals. And I think
we won't this year either.
What's that?
We won't this year either. I mean, we've got four teams this year haven't been there.
And so the question then becomes, and Oklahoma City hasn't even won a championship. They still have a lot of work to do. But if things continue for them, could they be the next one? I don't know. I would say no. I would say no. But I think they'll be in the mix all the time. But I would say the chances of them coming out and rattling off a bunch of straight championships or whatever, that seems unlikely at this point.
I would say the chances of them doing it are higher than almost any other team that we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years.
See, I would have thought the Nuggets would have been higher.
And the reason I say that is because they've fundamentally built the team differently than any of these other teams that have been flashes in the pan, that have come in, they've won a championship, and then they're not back. They've built it on a foundation of youth, on defense, on all of these different things, where it's more about the foundational team chemistry and the young stars and all of that, as opposed to going and buying the top talent on the open market or trading for them or whatever it is and bringing them into the city for a couple of years. I mean, like, that was what Kevin Durant did for so many years after he left Oklahoma City, was just going to the highest bidder, going and joining a team that already had superstars on it. That's not what the Thunder have done. That's not how they've built their team. And so I do think that it's a different strategy. And so the chances of them being that team to do that and to win multiple championships, I think the chances of that are actually greater than these other teams that we've seen win titles.
You had, since the Golden State dynasty was sort of dead, nobody thought the Raptors were going to be a dynasty. Nobody thought that Lakers team in 2020 was going to be a dynasty, too old at that point, and here they are 5 years later. The Bucks, I thought, would have had a chance for sure with Giannis, right? Golden State then the next year, that was a one-off. We didn't think so. I would have said the Nuggets, and I do think would have had a chance just because Jokic at that point was doing the things that he was doing. The Celtics people, and who knows, the Celtics could have started one had Jason Tatum not get hurt. The problem for them is Tatum's going to now probably be out next year too. So that will probably end those chances. Are the Thunder in a better position than the Nuggets were? Or they're deeper. Yeah, they're deeper. They are. So maybe. I'll give it a solid maybe. The problem for them is these other teams still exist. right? And will have a chance to, and I think that, you know, the separation between them and their peers is not like what it was with Golden State. It, for sure not. Like, not even close. Golden State was so much better than the teams around them. When you look back to, like, the Lakers dynasty, they were so much better than the teams around them, the Bulls, like these other. I don't know that I'm ready to put Oklahoma City there yet, but I do think they're pretty clearly the favorite this year, and they are playing really well, really well right now. And they've got Minnesota down 0-2. You've got Knicks Pacers tonight. The Knicks are favored in that game. We'll see if they can bounce back from their historic collapse. And they don't skip a day. So the Thunder T-Wolves game 3 in Minnesota will be Saturday. So no days skipped. Thank you, NBA. That drives me crazy when they do that. And we'll see if the Thunder can, you know, can put it away, basically, and get this thing done. Who you taking Knicks Pacers tonight?
I'm going to take the Pacers. I think that with the momentum that they had in the overtime win and everything, I think that they'll get another win here. And I know that, you know, the Knicks, their backs are up against a wall a little bit here, being down 1-0 in that collapse in game number one. I just think the Pacers have too much momentum, and I think they'll get game two.
Boy, it feels a lot like that Knicks-Celtics series when we were saying the same thing. Like, yeah, the Celtics really let that one go, and they'll bounce back, and then the Knicks would find a way to... I'll take the Knicks. I'll take the Knicks here.
And by the way, for the record, going back quickly to the Oklahoma City-Minnesota series, as much as I like the Thunder, and I think the Thunder will be the NBA champions... I mean, I'm going to pick the Timberwolves in game three. I mean, they have to have it. It's back at home in Minnesota. And I think that at least this first game, they'll get the win. And Anthony Edwards will have a good game. And it'll be 2-1. I think the Thunder will get game four. But I do think here in this next game, when the series goes back to Minnesota, that Minnesota will at least get game three.
I agree with you. I agree with that. I'll take the Knicks tonight, though. I'm not going to take a -6. I'm not, like, betting it. I'm not advocating for that. But I think they'll win the game tonight. All right, coming up later in this hour, Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, beat reporter for the KC Star, will join the program. He'll stop by. College football playoffs have new seeding rules. My question on this is pretty basic. Do we care? Like, is this that impactful? Is it as impactful as, you know, it's being made out to be? We'll talk about it next when we return. It is going to go straight seeding next year. And then I think the more, you know, headline-y part of it that's not getting talked about, there's going to be expansion after that. We're all talking about the seeds, but in that buried is that there's going to be expansion. So we'll talk about that when we return. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions. Thanks.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here live with you. Glad to be here with you. Let's talk about this college football stuff, Tommy. So the headline is that they're getting rid of the conference champion auto buy portion of the postseason and going to a straight seeding model next year. I got to be honest with you. I do not care about that. I don't think it's that big a deal. I don't think getting a buy in this situation for as long as they have to take between games is a massive inherent advantage, because you're going to play a team in that second round that has at least had some time to shake the rust off, and you haven't. I really think that's a big deal. And so I don't really care. Like, I'm sure there will be hand wringing from Big 12 people that are like, oh, now the SEC is just going to get all the, I don't care. I really don't, because I don't think it's that much of an advantage. Now, getting it at home, I mean, it's, to me, it's just not that big a needle mover how they seed this thing out. I don't, it just doesn't bother me that much.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there, you can look at a couple of different teams on either side of the spectrum from the CFP a year ago. First off, Penn State, for example, had one of the easiest draws, if not the easiest draw, going into the bracket. I mean, they did not win the Big Ten championship. They lost to Oregon in the Big Ten championship. They played SMU and Boise State in their path to the CFP. That was probably the easiest draw with all the teams in the CFP. On the flip side, the team that they lost to in the Big Ten championship in Oregon, they got a bye. Oregon got a bye in the first round, but then they had to go and play Ohio State. And of course, Ohio State won the national championship. So I think having a straight seeding model in that way is probably better. It's probably more equitable as opposed to the top winner, like the winners of the championships in the conference, are getting the premier seating, because that doesn't always mean that it's going to be the best draw. I'd rather have straight seating. I think it's better for all the teams in general.
I agree. Look, and the other part is, and this to me is the bigger headline, 12 teams is done after next year. And it's either going to go, by all reports, either going to go from 4 to 14 or 16. At this point, for me, I think 14 is a waste of time. Just go to 16. And we haven't had much time to digest it, but like, we need to be done with the bye. Like, if we're really going to wait 3 or 4 weeks between the end of the season and this thing, which is so stupid, we should not do that. But if that's going to continue, we don't need to have a bye. Like, just go to 16 teams, 1 versus 16. We can all and make them home games for the better seed in the first round, or maybe if it's even the first two rounds, whatever it needs to be, and we can all move on with our lives. That's what's going to need to happen. Now, if they decide we're going to start this thing 1 week after the season, like when the conference championship weekend is done, the playoffs will start the next week, then I would say, okay, maybe 14 makes more sense and you can do some buys. Because at that point, I don't think, but if we're going to wait this amount of, you can't wait 3 weeks and then start with buys. Like, we can't do that anymore. It is not good for the team getting the buy. And of course you want the buy, but I don't think it's like, I think at that point you're hurting yourself. So if you're going to wait, just go to 16 and don't do a buy. If you're not going to wait though, I could be more on board with 14 and taking the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that from a competitive standpoint, if you're just straight seeding the teams, whether we're talking about 12, 14, or 16, I think straight seeding is probably the best way to do it. But at the same time, I also understand the underlying current in all of this, and that this is an SEC and Big Ten power play. There's no doubt about it. Like, they're running the show, and we've always known that they have been. They've been advocating for this seeding model for a long time, and they've been advocating for a larger field for a long time because they feel like more of their teams are going to be able to get in. And so while having the top four conference teams automatically getting byes and being the top four seeds in the CFP, while that benefits the Big 12, it benefits the ACC, it benefits, you know, the conferences that are not the SEC and the Big 10, I can also recognize that that's probably not the best way to do it moving forward, even though I don't like the SEC and the Big 10 and the kind of power that they hold in college football. I can recognize it's probably the right move, but I also can recognize that this is them throwing their weight around to get this college football playoff exactly the way that they want it.
I don't like them particularly.
I mean, both things can be true, right? Like, it can be the best thing for the CFP, but also it can be frustrating that it's these guys throwing their weight around.
If we are being honest with ourselves, and we try to be that here, and we looked back historically, let's call it just the last 10 years of college football, how often do those two leagues have the best teams? Because I would say it's almost always.
Yeah.
Almost always, right? Yeah. Especially now with Texas and Oklahoma gone out of the, you know, Florida State's had a couple in the mix. Clemson has had some certainly in the mix. But for the most part, it's Ohio State and Michigan, and it's the SEC, right? Like, yeah, that's it. And now the Big Ten likes to pretend like, oh, we're the Big Ten and we got, no, you have two good teams, right? Like, you've got two really great teams.
Before they joined the Big Ten, it was, you know, like Oregon had a stretch. And Washington had a stretch and all of that. And now they're both in the Big Ten.
Right. So, and we should put Oregon in there too. So I'll call it three. Now the Big Ten can say, like, we've got three elite premier, like Penn State's cute. Like, whatever, that's no different to me than the Big 12 representative or anything else. You've got those three teams, programs.
Notre Dame's been in the mix recently, you know, like that's,
they're not in anything.
They're not in anything.
So that's like, if we're being honest, yeah, the power lies in those two leagues because they've had the best teams, and that's okay. Like, that's never bothered.
You get flashes in the pan with like TCU making a national championship game, things like that.
So I've said this 8 billion times, as long as the other conferences have representation, I don't care that it's weighted heavily toward the Big Ten and the SEC, because I think the reality is, and I know they haven't played each other and I have a problem with that and all, but if we're like, they send the most players to the NFL, like whatever way you want to look at it, they've had the best teams and that's fine. You just, like, for me, you just have to have your conference champions in, as you can. And this is a little bit hyperbolic, but as long as you have an ACC, a Big 12, and the best of the rest in, as long as those three are in, I don't care if the rest of the 11 are all Big 10 and SEC teams. I don't.
The like, only
I just
thing
want to make sure that those three are always in it.
Yeah, the only format that I would have been interested to at least look at and consider that still could benefit the other conferences, at least on the front end, is maybe there could have been a way to put a bracket together where the conference champions still got some kind of benefit, you know, whether that's a bye or whatever. But then there's reseeding that happens after like a first round or second round or whatever. So you still get the conference champions that get a benefit on the front end because they are the conference champion, even if it's not SEC and Big Ten. And then after the first round games or maybe the second round games or whatever that looks like, you reseed it based on just, you know, top to bottom strength. And I know different note, the NFL considered doing that this year at the owners' meetings. The Lions wanted to do that. They put a proposal together to reseed the playoffs after the first round of the playoffs and go top to bottom after the first round was done. Now, obviously, that didn't pass, and I think actually the Lions, they rescinded that proposal. But that's something the NFL has even looked at. Like, you could have done something like that, too, in the CFP to still find a benefit for the conferences that are not the SEC and the Big Ten, but are still in the Power 4 or 5 or whatever you want to call it, and then reseeded after that based on overall strength.
That would be fine.
You could have done something like that, and then you could have accomplished
I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think sometimes we overthink this, right? We have our conference champions in, which means that the issue that we have faced forever before last year in college football was that when you're watching your team, you can't guarantee that if they have the best season of any of their peers, that they're going to be represented in the postseason. That's stupid. Like, it's dumb. It makes no sense. It never has. It's silly that we've done this forever, whether it was two teams, four teams, whatever. You had way too many teams not represented with the opportunity to get into the postseason. It's just, it doesn't make sense. We fixed that because conference champions get in. So for me, it is that simple. If they want to reseed it, however they seed it, if those three teams are automatically the bottom three, I don't care, as long as they have a chance at the end to go get on the field and prove it. That genuinely, I mean that. Like, I don't care. Now, am I going to have fun with the rest of us in each individual year saying, oh man, that second or third best Big 12 team is better than the fifth best SEC team? I'll take, yeah, of course I am. Like, that's the fun part of the conversation. But the reality is, as long as it's there, we're all winning, because now your college football regular season means more. It means something. It means that what you're watching matters, because your team, if they're able to make it through the grind of their regular season, is going to have a chance to go win a championship. That's why every other league that we watch does that, right? If you were the best team of your peers in the regular season, you will have a chance to be in the postseason. We have that now. So I'm good. I don't care if they go to 14. I don't care if they go to 16. I just want the gap. Like, now my top priority is eliminating that gap between games. I think we're doing ourselves a disservice with that gap.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of arguments, by the way, and really specifically like the Big 12, for example. Like, well, it devalues the Big 12 championship game because they're, you're playing for a bye.
Yep,
you're playing for an automatic bye. But here's the thing. Just go back to the most recent Big 12 championship game that we had with Arizona State and Iowa State. Yeah, they were playing for a bye, but they were also playing to get in. Like, it wasn't either one of these teams were automatically going to get a bid. They were not going to get an at-large bid. Both of those teams, if memory serves, like, they were both in the teens as far as their rankings. Like, they were right on the precipice. Either one of those teams, like the loser didn't get in to the CFP, right? And so until we get to a situation where like the Big 12, for example, has, I don't know, two teams in the top seven or eight in the rankings playing in their conference championship, where it really doesn't matter. The game doesn't matter ultimately because
the loser would be knocked out.
The loser would still, you're like where both teams, I mean, could very well get an at-large bid. Like they don't need to win their Big 12 championship game. Then that's a valid argument. But right now, that's not a valid argument for the Big 12.
No, and it's going to happen. Look, there's going to be a time where you have, let's call it, let's say we go to 16 and you have a two-loss team that is inside the top 16 before the conference championship game playing a three-loss team that's outside the top 16. The three-loss team will beat the two-loss team. The two-loss team will get knocked out of the postseason and should have never had to play that game. That's going to happen. Like it'll happen for sure. And that's, I mean, I don't know.
What if you have a Big 12 team, by the way, that is, I don't know, a top five team going into their conference championship game, and they're like, you know, look, we're going to get an at-large bid regardless, and it doesn't really benefit us because we don't get a bye either way. Like, right. We're not doing that. Right. Yeah. So let's rest our starters in the Big 12 championship game.
Doesn't matter. Conference championship game is the big conversation to have now. I think you could have almost like conference tournaments could be beneficial, because the other problem I think you might run into with the at-large situation is you can't play, like you aren't giving your at-larges enough of a chance to get in either with big wins late. And so like the Big Ten, for example, last year, you had a situation with Indiana. They never play anybody. They never beat anybody. And so we have to my thought is you'd be better served not just a championship game, but leave yourself enough time in the schedule to ensure that your top teams, especially as the leagues grow and get bigger and you don't play everybody, to have like a four-team tournament at the end of the year. I said that last year. I think that would help us sort of weed out the pretenders. And I also think it would provide an opportunity for a team that might be really good to collect a couple of big wins to boost them through where they might not have the chance. So play one fewer regular season game, essentially, and then you take like a conference semifinal in a championship. You take those top four teams and put them in their own little conference tournament, essentially. I think that would also help us get to the best teams at the end of the year.
I get your thinking on that, but I go back to what you just said a few minutes ago. I think sometimes we overthink things, and that does make things a little bit more complicated, right? You're basically doing a conference tournament, and then you're doing a national tournament. And I know in basketball that happens all the time, right? That happens every single year. College football is a little bit different, and as far as the grind and all of that. I mean, and I'm not opposed to taking away a regular season game to do something like
this. Just lose the bye game.
I just think that the logistics of all of it, it's going to take a lot, I think, to pull something like that off.
We're in the weeds on that. You just like you could lose a bye game, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to try very hard to not get too caught up in those small things when we are ultimately getting the thing that we've been begging for forever, which is representation in the postseason for a championship. The Big 12 has never been guaranteed that before. They are right now. So that's a win. That protects the future of college football, in my opinion. It keeps it a national sport, right? And not just a regional collection of Big Ten, SEC. I know people have said, well, they can just break off. That would be detrimental. We do not love college football for the same reasons we love the NFL. We will not all of a sudden all become interested if the Big 12's not represented when Alabama and Tennessee play. Like, okay, cool. Those are two good teams. Like, we're not setting our watches to it as much as they'd like to think people do. They don't. And don't try to go down that road, college football. You won't like where it takes you. Let there be representation no matter what you do, and the sport will flourish. And I think that they are. And I think those types of rumors have subsided greatly. And I think we're on the right path here. 14, 16, however they seed it, I don't really care anymore, because conference champions get in. And so do the Cinderellas. Like, you're guaranteeing a Cinderella a chance to get in. That's also good for the sport. Like we need to see these teams, that Cincinnati's, Boise State's, these teams of the past. UCF had some, like, give them a shot in there. Who cares if they get blown out? I don't care. The SEC, like, these teams get blown out in the college football playoffs all the time. The margins of victory in college are just bigger than they are in the NFL.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think that, again, going back to the original point of what passed, is that having a straight seeding model, you're still getting the same number of teams in. You're still getting the same teams in, by and large. You're just not getting a benefit for being a conference champion. And I get the fact that, you know, conference champions are absolutely important. But, I mean, we would be kidding ourselves if we thought that Boise State is at the same level as Georgia, right? Like, they both may be conference champions.
Make them
play each other, for
but
sure.
Let's be real about it.
They're both in the tournament, but I think we're kidding ourselves if they're both at the same level, you know, as far as the stature of their conferences.
And that's okay. We got to all be okay with that. Like, we just do. It's reality. Still trying to connect with Jalen Thompson. We'll see if we can make that connection today. Tommy, the Royals get ready tonight for some games with the Twins here in a series that could have major implications down the road. You got to take it all, you know, as it comes to you. But the reality is, in this division, it sure appears like these divisional games will be highly impactful. Some years that's been because you were trying to beat up on the AL Central, right? But those days are behind us now, and this has become one of the better divisions in baseball. And so it's as much as you want to win them against, but you can't afford to lose them either. Like, that, we don't know which of the teams. It may be all the teams, maybe all four teams. If the playoffs started today, you'd have four AL Central teams in. But it's the problem with it is everybody's good, right? So you play these games and you just don't. I mean, you'll get some against the White Sox, but everybody else is good and maybe really good. And Minnesota is of those teams the hottest at the moment. Of course, Detroit's the best team in baseball right now, but Minnesota's won 8 of 10. And so here you go if you're the Royals. Never been a better time to wake up the bats a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I was having a conversation with our buddy Matt Hamilton, who's the general manager of the Wichita Wind Surge, and of course, they're a Twins affiliate. We were talking about the Twins, and we were talking about the hot streak that they've been on lately, and one of the things that I mentioned was that it certainly seemed like this hot streak and the fact that the Twins have been able to turn things around probably saved Rocco Baldelli's job. The manager of the Twins. I mean, like, they were, I think, expected to be a contender, and they got off to a very disappointing start in their season. And Baldelli has been there for a while and, you know, has had success, but not probably at the level that, you know, most people expected. And I think they expected the Twins to be pretty good this year. And the fact that they have turned their season around, they've gotten hot, they've won 8 of 10. They had won, 13 games in a row at one point. Like, they had really gotten, you know, hot for a while, probably saved his job a little bit. So the Royals now go to Minnesota, taking on one of the hotter teams in Major League Baseball.
You know, it's interesting if you look at the division right now and you try to, because, you know, we're expecting all four to be good. So, and maybe I'm the only one who does this. I look at it and I'm like, okay, all four of these teams are, in my opinion, they're all for real. They're all going to be good. Who is going to be the team that elevates and, like, gets better, does whatever? I think as we look at it, Detroit's probably pretty set to stand pat. I don't know. I mean, maybe they go out of bullpen arm. I don't know the up and downs of their roster as well. But they got a bunch of young players. I'll bet you Detroit's not. And there you have, historically, they've shown they can be a big spending team. So I don't think it would be that. I think they're probably, though, you're the best team in baseball. You got a young team, you know, and maybe they just kind of ride it through. That's just a gut feel. They could go at, who knows? Cleveland never really does anything at the deadline. So I don't think it'd be them. I think the two teams that are most likely to, on paper, improve at the deadline would be Minnesota and Kansas City. I think Minnesota is at a place for them where I don't know if desperation is the right term for them, but I think they'd probably be more ready to push it in. And we've talked about the Royals since the offseason that it feels like, with all the other things they've got going on as an organization, this, like, now is the time for them. Like, it's as obvious a time to sort of push it in as you could ever get, because they don't have a great farm system. They're not trading Jack Caglione. It's just not that great. So you're not like clinging to any of that. You have enough young pitchers, I think, either here or coming, that you feel okay about the future. But I do think the clock is ticking a little bit on Lugo, on Waka, maybe even on Lorenzen. If you like, there is a little bit of a ticking clock on some of this, where they probably need some urgency to go try to do it this year, I think. So as you look at it, I do think these are the two teams that will probably make moves from outside of the organization to get better at the deadline. I do think that about the Twins too.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how, when you're looking at what that looks like for the Royals, what are you willing to give up? If you want to try to go outside of internal candidates to improve the team, like Jack Caglione, and, you know, I know that there are others in the farm system too. What are you willing to give up, you know, to go and try to win immediately? And where do you prioritize that compared to the future? And I don't disagree with you. I mean, Seth Lugo is, what, 34 years old? Lorenzen is in his early 30s. Waka is in his early 30s. You know, Reagan's isn't a spring chicken either. I mean, he's younger a little bit, but, you know, it's not like he's in his early to mid-20s, right? So, like, you've got a rotation that is primed to win now. But the good thing is that you've also got pitchers that still probably have, you know, a long career ahead of them. And Noah Cameron, I know it's a small sample size. They clearly like him a lot, and he has shown at least through the first couple of games that he can get it done. They like him. Chris Bubich has been the best pitcher in that rotation this year. And I know he's been with the organization for a long time. He's still pretty young. You know, he's probably got a long time left. And then you've got guys like Alec Marsh, who could be a decent rotational piece. I don't think he's ever going to be an ace, but he could be a decent rotational piece. Kyle Wright, I know they still feel like he can come back from injury and be the guy that won 22 games in Atlanta in, when was that, 2019 or 2020, whenever that was. They like him a lot too. And then you've got Daniel Lynch and others that are still there that are growing and young. And so they've got pieces that can back up some of their aging rotational pieces. I just wonder, how aggressive do you want to be in giving up some of the guys, some of your prospects, to win right now?
Very aggressive, in my opinion. You're not going to trade Cags. That's not going to happen. I think you've got three catchers right now inside the Royals' top 10 prospects. You can trade two of them, for all I care. Like, just pick one and keep him. Yeah, trade the others. I would have thought Noah Cameron would be a piece, but if he comes through and has a couple more good starts, honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense to trade him, because he could help you down the road with what you just talked about. So then, like, does Alec Marsh? I think Alec Marsh would be very tradable for me, but he's hurt. You're not trading Cags. My guess is they would value Blake Mitchell the highest, but so might another team. So you're not trading Cags. You're not trading one of the catchers. You're probably not trading Noah Cameron, and everybody else is available. How much value is in there? I don't know, but I don't think they're going to be in the market to need to trade those caliber of players to bring a player in anyway, because they're not going to go take on a $60 million a year salary or just something ridiculous like that. They're not in a position to do that. They're not in a position to go trade for an impending free agent, at least not trade a top prospect for one. I think they'd be willing to do it for a lesser deal, maybe like a low level prospect. Sure. But I don't think they need that stuff, right? Like, when they're going to be aggressive at the deadline, it'll be aggressive to make small moves, in my opinion. I don't know what large move they would even want to make at this point. I mean, you're going to go trade for an all-star caliber outfielder? The reality is, I mean, outfield, like, we worried about the outfield. They've had a productive outfield now with MJ Melendez sent down. Like, their outfield's been pretty productive. It's not driving in runs, but that's where you look elsewhere in the lineup. So,
well, and if you want to look at outfielders, I mean, I know for a long time, not just with the Royals, but a lot of teams, they've been linked to Luis Robert and will the White Sox move him and all of that. He's having a terrible year. Like, he's got
a big contract.
He makes
too.
A lot of money, and he's having a terrible year. He's batting under 200. I think if the Royals, and I'm not suggesting that they're going to do this, But if they felt like we need to make a big splash and we need to do it now and we need a bat and we need an outfielder, the one name that continues to come to mind is Cedric Mullins from the Orioles.
Colton Cowser, like one of their outfielders.
But I mean, I really think Mullins would be like that guy. I mean, that's a bigger name for sure than Cowser is. Yeah. But one of those guys in the Orioles outfield, if they felt like they needed to make a big splash and name recognition and somebody that's performing and productive at the plate and can play the outfield, I'm not sure that they're going to have the appetite to go and make that big of a splash right now. But if they do, those would be guys that I would look at.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's going to be at, you know, it'll be at the expense of somebody. Mullins has been around for a while. He's 30 years old. He is having a fine year, right? He's doing a good job right now. So,
and I don't. By the way, I don't think it's
not a great job.
I don't necessarily. Colton Cowser a lot. I don't think that Cowser is going to get moved because he's controllable and because the Orioles can continue to build around guys like him and Rutschman and Holiday and, you know, Gunnar Henderson. I don't think that, you know, Cowser is going to be somebody that the Orioles, they're going to want to move. I think a guy like Mullins, who is 30, that's more expensive, is probably going to be a more likely candidate.
He's a rental, though, that we do have to remember.
He is.
We need to remember.
But if the priority is to win right now, then that would be, I think, something that the Royals might want to look at.
What are you willing to trade? So for a rental and a guy who's 30 and a guy who's been okay this year, he's had better year, but we know what he can do. I mean, why go trade Alec Marsh for Cedric Mullins, right? Like, I think I would be fine with that risk. Alec Marsh and a lower level prospect for him. Like, but Marsh is hurt. So that I'm not trading Noah Cameron for him at this point. So that, you know, they'll have to work through that. And then the other thing you have to evaluate is it a clear upgrade for him over Michael Massey, I guess would be because Massey would probably be the odd man out of the rotation if they go to trade for an outfielder and then India plays second base every day. So, you know, okay. Like maybe, yeah, I'd probably be willing to take that swing.
I mean, hey, look, I think that if you've got a guy like Michael Massey who can be a depth piece, you know, can come in and give you, you know, starts and be kind of versatile and can pinch hit and, you know,
do these different things. Or
he's part of the trade. But I think if you maintain that depth, I mean, that's not a bad thing. I don't think he would love that, I'm sure. But, you know, I think that if you're playing a guy like Michael Massey as a platoon depth piece type guy, I think that's a benefit.
All right, let's look at Mullins here real quick. We've got a few minutes. Mullins right now this year is a .236 hitter. He's getting on base. But he's hit 10 home runs.
Yeah, so his OPS is over 800, I think, around 800.
He's going to give you the power you need. And he's done this, and I just look at this year because I know last year was a little bit down for him. The 3 years prior to last year, though, he was very good. He's a power hitter, basically. And he can steal bases, too, so he fits. So right now, you're J.J. Piccolo. You pick up the phone and you say, I'll give you Michael Massey and Alec Marsh for Cedric Mullins. You like that deal?
I do. Yeah, I do. If they're going to make that trade, I do. I mean, you know, the thing about Alec Marsh though is that he's injured, and so the Orioles would want to take a look at like
you're probably not trading Cameron right now.
No, I mean, I think that the Orioles would probably say we'll pass on that just because Alec Marsh is injured.
So here's what gets really interesting on Cameron, who starts tonight. What do the Royals really think of him? That's what I want to know. Like, obviously, his performance in his first two starts has been spectacular. How do they scout him, and how do they evaluate, and what do they believe in? Because if they believe that this is not normal, right, and he's not going to be quite this, that adds to strike while the iron's hot with him as far as the trade goes, right, too. Because if, you know, you have to trust your own evaluations.
But you can never have enough young, controllable pitching.
Brady Singer, I know, but they've been willing to do it, right? They've been willing to be aggressive that way. I don't know what they think, but they'll tell you that they love him, and I would too. I mean, why not? He's been spectacular. All right, that'll get us ready for the weekend here on Sports Daily. We've got Royals baseball all 3 days this weekend. We will be off on Memorial Day, so we will talk to you again on Tuesday. I hope everybody gets a little rain. I hope everybody avoids the severe weather. And I hope we all remember the reason for this holiday, this weekend, Tommy, and enjoy the start of summer and get some family time in. It'll be a nice weekend for everybody.
Yeah, it'll be good to rest and recharge and get back to it on Tuesday, hopefully with some good Royals news to talk about.
You know, the series against the Twins. Well, there will be a lot to dig into, and we'll do it on Tuesday. For Max, for Tommy, I'm Jacob. We'll see you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts, Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day, because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.